All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Milan Lucic, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
Oh, Rigorilla, out in the palm trees somewhere, I'm sure, acting like you're in the Peg. Don't lie. You're not in Winnipeg.
Dude, in the Peg, in my parents' basement, rocking the pod.
Now, do you have a bedroom? Shit. Do you have a bedroom like you had in my basement? A little
something like a little twin bed?
Yeah. I don't even know how you fit in that thing.
Oh, but, my God.
Like, don't act like you're there. You're like... Who knows?
In paradise,
Hawaii again.
Yeah, right.
Hawaii,
Jamaica.
You just go all over. Don't worry about me. I'll just hold the fort down here. And
I appreciate you doing that.
Try to get things going. We missed you last week because of just some conflicts with the scheduling that we had with a couple people. So it's good to be back. Great guest today, and I miss you, buddy. I don't know I haven't seen you. It's been a week, dude. You're not usually apart that much, man.
I know, man. You're looking good. Looking fresh, dude, bubbly.
I'm bubbly. I'm the gym. I got back after it. I couldn't stand looking at myself anymore. It's just awful. Fat as a baby seal, but getting back after it now. Anyway, brother, are you ready for next Friday?
What's next Friday?
Huh. It's a big tailgate.
Yes,
with our buddies, Clear Rum.
Yes.
Fans of Philly. We got a DJ. It's gonna be a party, brother.
I can't wait. It should be a beautiful night. Wait. Yep. Time to relax, hang out.
Well, don't fall asleep on us, because around 7's when you're starting to dial it down a little bit, but I'm not gonna let that happen.
No chance. No.
Yeah. Love to see everybody come out and join us. It's going to be packed anyway. The Dodgers are in town playing the Phils, 4-7. We'll be there a little early. I got to make Riley do a little work, get things set up, but it's going to be a blast. Can't wait.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to it. We've been talking about it for a little while and finally getting the docket ready.
That's
to rock.
Right. Let's go.
See Nast and Prime Prime Shade.
Oh,
prime
let's form. Hope. Let's hope I'm a. Listen, I was overserved last time, yeah, so don't blame me.
Yeah, dipping wasn't into those my clears. Fault. Dipping into those clears, Nast.
Oh my
god,
look
out!
They're so good juice, though. Oh, it'll probably be warm, and those things on ice, boys. Put a little fruit in there. Oh my god.
Oh, you're mixing in the electrolytes too.
Oh cool. Yeah, man! Best summer cocktail you can find. Clear rum, man. I'm telling you.
Woo.
I'm telling you.
Looking forward to it.
Have you? So getting into a little hockey here, we're down to the finals, man. It's I love when the playoffs start because you got two games a night, no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. And then now it's down to, you know, it's the finals. It's been pretty exciting, I would say. I'm more watching the East side, I think, has been a little bit more exciting for me. But you got the Panthers, since we last talked, they ended up sweeping the Hurricanes. It's hard to call it a sweep. It was a sweep. But, man, those games, they all could have gone tight. Either way, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, the first two in overtime. Yeah, they basically played five games because incredible, game one was, you know, nearing the end of the fourth overtime, I believe, right? Fourth overtime.
Yep.
With, you know, under 30 seconds to go. Just crazy. I actually stayed up too and watched it. But this Tkachuk, man, wow. Like, talking about bringing it to another level.
Oh, man.
And not just him. It's everyone on their team. Bob, you know, all these guys. Bob allows six goals in four games, man. That's a recipe to win.
No doubt.
When your goalie's doing that. And, man, it was just – they're just a hard team to play against, man. They've been amazing. We've talked about it a lot, obviously, with the – they're in the finals now.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what I'm seeing. I mean, they got – all these components, right? I mean, they're set up for playoffs. These guys are stepping up. The guys that are supposed to be stepping up, they got the grit, the goaltending. I mean, all the elements that you've seen over time win Stanley Cup. So, I mean, it's going to be an amazing series. I think it's going to go seven, and it's going to be a dog fight.
I hope so. I think you're right, man. And like you said, like watching Florida play, man, I'm pretty sure you saw the hit Sam Bennett laid on Slavin
behind
the net. I mean, clean as can be. But, I mean, that team's hard-hitting. All these guys, man. And you know, Vegas is a shy team. Like, they put the body out there, too. So, like you said, this is going to be a great series. They, you know, they end up beating the Stars. Ottinger, he had a pretty tough series, man. He was just up and down. It's hard. We just talked about Bob. It's hard to win when your goalie's inconsistent like that, you know. Jason Robertson played well, young guy, man. He's an up-and-coming star. He's already is a star, really, for Dallas. But William Karlsson ended up with five goals in the series. Marchessault, 7 points. And, you know, Hill coming in for Bozois, if I'm saying that correctly, he played great.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on, you know, the two-game suspension? You know, they win those games. And then they just lay an egg.
Cobb,
like, how does that happen with him back in the lineup? I mean, just like scratching my head. Like, where's the urgency?
I told a story the other day. I think I've told you before, but I remember the last time I was in Dallas when I was with the team, still with the Flyers. We came out and played really well. Played one of those really good road periods. We're up 1-2, and I had to fix someone's equipment. Shoulder pad. I think it was Michael Raffles, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, I go in to do it, and Jamie Benn is laying in to the boys in Dallas's locker room, and I was like trying to get this shoulder pad done before he came around the corner, because he scared the shit out of me. And it worked, because they came out and they ended up mopping us up like 5-2. But to see a team just – we've said this before. I hate to say they weren't trying. But, man, it was just bad. It was a bad game. You couldn't even watch it. Like, I was actually flipping around. It was ugly. But congrats to Vegas. They played well. Now they're in the final. They're in their second finals, bro.
I know.
It's such a young franchise, man.
It is incredible. It is. Yeah. I'm excited for the way it's gone. I mean, I'm still going Panthers the distance. Just obviously beating Boston, that was my pick. from the start, which is a huge disappointment. I just love what I'm seeing with that team. You know, obviously Cuzzy, you got Bob, Alex Lyon, the Butcher, you know, Radko Gudas there, just these guys, just, well, obviously one's Flyers in the Flyers organization.
But
everyone stepped up their game. It's just, it's nice to watch. And he said, you talked about Matthew Tkachuk there. Man, is he shoving it up their ass and just playing with a chip on his shoulder. And I mean, epitome of a power forward, right? I mean, clutch playoff performer. So it'll be fun to watch. I mean, I'm actually excited. It'll be interesting how they deal with this gap, right? I mean, they've been off since how many days now, and you're not playing till Saturday. And that's no joke in the middle of playoffs, you know.
You're hot too, right? Like,
yeah, you want to keep playing.
You're rolling. And so it will be interesting to see. I just have a feeling the way they're playing, they need to be ready the first five. Like, you know, coaches always say that, the boys always say that in a room. Let's worry about the first 5 minutes. Like, let's kind of keep it even and not let them jump on you like they did in Dallas. God, if that would have been in Vegas, the roof would have come off that place, right? You know. No, but Florida's going to have to come out and play a pretty simple first period probably. But they've been able to do it every series. So, you know, I don't think they're afraid. That's for sure.
No. Guns a-blazing, Nast.
Yep. You got to be.
Both teams coming out.
I like to see Phil the Thrill thrown in there. Call right? Johnny Stevens. Yeah, you know, Phil in there.
Mix him in there.
Fuck, get me in, boys.
Get some speed down the right side.
Yeah. But moving on from that, I can't wait, though. It's going to be exciting. Canada, you must be proud. You guys won the world championship. Yeah, our boy Scotty Lawton. Our guest today, Milan Lucic, on that team. It was pretty good worlds. I watched quite a bit of it. Games were really interesting. I hated to see, obviously, U.S. lose in the way they lost the last two games. Both games they lost, the goalies were pulled on the opposite side, and then they end up losing in overtime. After they get scored on to tie the game, they lose in overtime. But it was pretty cool to watch Latvia being at home and meddling. It was really cool. I was actually in Latvia for my first World Championships with Team USA, it was such a great time and just a cool little city, man. It was a lot of fun. And it was really neat to see the excitement there. I mean, those people, that was everything to them. This past year I had two Latvian kids on my junior team, and I was messaging with them, and they were just, you know, obviously so excited. But hated to see US lose, but it was pretty cool to watch the Latvian guys celebrate. It was the biggest thing for them. It was cool.
Another gold for Canada. That's all.
Oh, just relax. You guys are so cocky, man. I can't stand it. I'm kidding. I was pulling for Lawrence.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's nice to see him pull it out. It's good for the country. Could use a win now and then, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you guys aren't going to get a Stanley Cup in Canada. So,
yeah.
Might as well. Another world championship.
Yeah.
We haven't had one in Philly in a long time.
It's a little dry spell now.
Yeah, a little dry spell. Other news, the Penguins hired Dubas hired as president of hockey ops, and the rumor is our boy Spez may be the GM.
Yeah, what a job come right out of playing. Wow. A little tee up.
Yeah, it's funny too. I know we talked about Dubas, how animated he was up in the box during this series, and they had a camera on that man the whole time. That's what I thought. I'm like, he looked like he wanted nothing to do with Dubas, but
stoic.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. In Toronto, in his place, they hired Brad Treliving as their new GM. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens there, what they do. I've seen some tweets going out about trading some Flyer players in Toronto and this and that, but everybody's going to probably be poking the bear there just to see if they want to get rid of any of their top end players, because it hasn't worked.
Of course. So, yeah. I want to backtrack a little bit on Doobie there, though.
Oh, like, okay.
How that went down in Toronto, how his last presser, he's talking about coming back, maybe, you know, just kind of feeling out how, and reflecting on how the season went, but definitely not going to go anywhere in the next week or so. And then sure enough, you know, he's in pit, you know. So obviously there was something behind the scenes that's, you know, hasn't been revealed yet in conversations. Yeah. Obviously, his heart wasn't there. He was just, just speaking to the media and giving lip service. But
yeah,
I mean, I guess that's the business. So you got to do what's best for your family and opportunity. He gets, a larger role, right? More control, more power there. But I thought that was kind of funny. Spin Chick has actually posted a video of it, and then following it up was. The credits of Curb Your Enthusiasm, it was so funny because it was just like a bunch of bullshit, just feeding the media, just whatever you want. But no, I get it. You got to hold some stuff to your chest sometimes.
Yeah. Kind of like Jonesy did here.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. except for he didn't even get in the media. It was so quiet. It was perfect. What else you got, Nass?
The Capitals have hired Spencer Carberry as their new head coach. Anyone stepping into that role as a head coach, I gotta wonder if it's a little intimidating with Alex Ovechkin being on your team. You know, like, I'm not saying Ovi has any control. Like, I'm not saying he does anything or says anything to the coaches. You got to do this or that. But like, still, it's got to be a little. I don't know if intimidating is a word, but it's a special thing, you know, knowing you have that guy that's probably going to break the record for goals.
Yeah.
If he's able to stay healthy, knock wood for him. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting hire, I thought. Predators.
Is mentally prepared just on that. Just got to mentally prepare, you know, and figure out how you're going to work with this guy, right? It's like some version of a strategy because you need your horses, right? And you know, it's like you can't go in there flexing and all that stuff. So I think working with stars is always some bit of a strategic game, right? I mean, obviously these are human beings and good guys for the most part, but they also are superstars and they have been superstars for a long time. So there isn't a certain way you gotta, you know, coddle these guys, but also not. Not showing the rest of the squad that you're throwing these guys any favors by any means.
Yeah, but, right.
We'll see how that goes, though.
Yeah, for sure. What else do we got here, Riggs? Oh, in Nashville, Barry Trotz, he let Johnny Hines go. I got to work with John Hines a few years back at the World Cup. He's an awesome guy. I thought he did a pretty damn good job there, but I think they just wanted to, you know, change it up. And Andrew Brunet is the new head coach there, which he did a great job in Florida filling in for, you know, after they had to make the change there a year ago. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I know they were talking about retooling, which we heard a little bit about that here. I bet you it's a little different there.
Yeah.
And the other thing I did hear was that I'm sure everyone heard Peter Laviolette has you're hearing his name linked in with the Rangers. That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
because he's Lavi, as you know, you played for him and I worked for him. He's a run and gun guy, man. Be interesting to see. I know they did. They also interviewed Hines as well. Since he lost his job with Nashville, right. John
as Hines. They should.
Right? Yeah. So few things going on, man.
A lot of movement.
The finals. And then, before we know it, we got the draft coming up at the end of this month. So,
Fun time of year, right?
Yeah, man.
Wrap up the playoffs and start building. Well, obviously already building for next year, you know, start piecing in the coaches, general managers, presidents, all that stuff. So always on the move.
Yeah. He's
always
for sure,
trying to
man.
Get better. Yep. Ready to rock, Nast?
I'm ready to rock, brother.
Episode 119, their boy, Milan Lucic. We're ready to go.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. This week, we are so jacked. Riles, I think this is the first guy that's never played for the Flyers in our 100 and some episodes, but one of my favorite players ever to watch since he's been in the league, a Stanley Cup champion. Most recently, World Championships for Canada, Mr. Milan Lucic. Luch, what's up, you big beast?
Not much. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. Thank you for joining us, man. Yeah. I know it's been a bit of a shit show for you the last probably few days with being over there winning and all that, man. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You talk about it being a bit of a shit show, if you can believe it. So we went on Sunday night, and then they had us on a 6 a.m. flight out on the Monday morning out of Helsinki. The celebration with the boys was short-lived. But at the end of the day, honestly, it was such a great experience. I'm so happy I got to go. Funny story. I've been doing interviews all week. A lot of people don't know this, but I actually called Team Canada. You know, I wasn't invited. So wow. I kind of was like, hey, I want to come, you know, because I never played it before. And I knew the training camp was going to be in Budapest. And I'd heard great things about that city. And then we were in the Riga Latvia group. And Nasty, you've been there. Awesome city. So I wanted to go there and experience it. And to be honest, I'd never played for Team Canada. When I was in my prime and my heyday, we were always in the playoffs. So I never really got a chance to go. And, you know, the way the season ended and the way things went, you know, it was kind of, you know, I felt like I still had, you know, juice in the tank. Yeah. And I still wanted to play. And then, you know, Toffoli and Uyghur were going. So I was like, you know what? I called my agent. I'm like, hey, you got to call Doug Armstrong. Tell him I want to come. And then he called me and he said, hey, I invited some guys here back. If there's a spot, you know, we'd love to have you come. We didn't even know you would want to come. And, you know, he called me back like 2 days later and said, hey, yeah, there's a spot for you if you want to come. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. And the cool part was, too, is I got to bring my wife and kids out.
That's awesome.
So they got to experience it with me. You know, you talked about Stanley Cup. You know, I was 23 years old when I won that. And, I didn't have kids back then, so I didn't get to share that moment with them. So, even though our roster kind of looked thin before we went there, you know, you're still on Team Canada. You know, you still got a chance to win. So I was like, you know what? It'd be cool to celebrate this with my children. And you know what? I even got to bring the trophy.
Oh,
home.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Beautiful. Oh, so, yeah, my God. You know what? No way.
Hockey Canada is here in Calgary. So, like, their headquarters. So, I'm still holding on to it. They still haven't called me to get it back for me. So, I've been
just don't answer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was hang tight.
I shut my phone off, actually.
So yeah, I'm not right. Seeing
phone calls right now.
That's so cool.
I was gonna say, Luch, like, obviously, I'm American, but when I was able to do USA stuff, even though I was just an equipment pigeon, like, especially the Olympics 2010, man, like, it was like the coolest feeling throwing a sweatshirt on and said USA. Like it must just been a dream of yours, like being Canadian and throwing that sweater on, because I hear so many guys talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you grow up watching World Juniors and World Championships and Olympics. And, you know, I think my first memory of Team Canada was 2002 when they played the US in the finals in Salt Lake City. And yeah, you know, there's always a little bit, a little extra pride when you put on your national team jersey, no matter what it is. And, the cool part, too, was to see the other nations and the other countries. You know, like, I think the biggest turnout was Switzerland. You know, when we played Switzerland in Riga, it was almost to par of when we played Latvia in the first opening game of the tournament. And, you know, to see all the Czechs come down and the Slovaks come down and, you know, they're walking around with their flags and their scarves, and you're going to old in Riga, you know, they're representing the colors and the flags. And, you know, you talk about 2010 and during that All-Star break, because I'm from Vancouver, I actually went to Vancouver for 5 days because I wanted to, you know, I kind of wanted to experience the Olympics a little bit, you know, in my hometown. And, you know, had that same kind of feel, you know, everyone walking around, you know, showing their nation's colors and all that type of stuff. And, you know, it was cool to be a part of. They cheer differently than we do.
Yeah.
You know, they like whistle and shit. You know, I'm like, yeah. Look, like, You know, we were setting up our breakouts and our PP, our power play, and they were kind of getting mad that we were holding it on the half wall for too long. And they start whistling, and I'm going, what the hell are they whistling about? And every time one of their players fall, they're whistling and they want a penalty call, and the refing sucks.
Yeah,
as you know, Nasty. Like,
yeah.
but it was cool to be a part of because it was something different. You know, I'd never experienced anything internationally before. You know, and I'm about to turn 35 here on Wednesday, and you know, to be able to experience that and like you said, to wear, you know, the Canadian, you know, flag, you know, the Canadian jersey, you know, it was a pretty huge honor, and you know, I'm glad I got to do it.
Yeah,
so cool.
It was like I said, it was a lot of fun to watch. And I know when I was in Riga, I believe that building, if it's the same one, had just been built, if I'm not mistaken. And I had a tough time some of the time watching the game because of the cheerleaders dancing behind me.
Head on a swivel, Nast.
Dude, I did. I needed a neck brace after that. But no, in all seriousness, it's such a, we just were talking about it, it's such a cool city, and it's so much fun. That was my first time at international, being in anything like that, and like you said, just watching everyone from all these other countries, and like you said, they got those little paper helmets on and their scars and all that shit. It was a blast, man. So yeah. Congratulations.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I love that you reached out and you know, offered your services, you know, the wily old vet, you know, wanting to go play for the country. I think that's super cool, and then to do it in front of your family, gotta be super special. So props to you, man. That's awesome. You had a chance to play with our boy Scott Lawton there too. How was that?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because and then you get to meet you guys, like you talk right about Lottie. You know, me and him always kind of, well, I always kind of went after him every time we played the Flyers.
Why? Yeah, you know,
why do you think? Yeah. And then you know, and then you end up, you know, meeting guys like that, and you end up, you know, becoming teammates and good friends. And yeah, so that just adds to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
he's a beauty. He's a special one, that's for sure. So basically what you are telling us also is that you're going to be signing with St. Louis since you're a free agent, because Army was the GM.
No.
I'm going to call Chief. I got to get on the phone with Chief here. I'm sure he'd have you in a heartbeat. Talk about that a little bit. Free agent, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just around the corner. It's a couple weeks away. First off, you know, it's you know, I've been through it once before, and it's kind of a crazy process, you know, talking to teams, seeing what teams want, seeing what teams are interested and all that type of stuff. And I think that's the main point in my career now is kind of seeing who's interested and what role they want me to play on the team. And you know what, I still know that I have a lot to give. You know, I've you know, if you go on HockeyDB and look at my, you know, my stats, I haven't missed a lot of games in my career, especially for the way that I play. And And you know, I like I said, I went to the World Championships because I felt like I still had juice in the tank, and you know, I'm lucky and fortunate that my body still feels good, that I feel like I can still play, you know, 2 to 4 more years. And you know, I got to be teammates with a former Flyer, Mark Greinke, for 2.5 years.
That's right,
And the thing he always told us was, you know, you play as long as you can. You play until they kick you out of the league, until you can't play no more. And I've always, you know, when you're 22, 21, hearing that, you don't really understand it. But now, getting up to 35, you understand it. And at that age, 35's old. But now being 35, I don't feel old at all, and I feel like I got a lot left in the tank. So, you know, it's just talking to teams about role. You know, I still want to play, you know, on a night to night basis. So you see where you fit on whatever team comes calling, and you know, and just have those honest, you know, and all you want too is on their side is honest conversations, because
100%.
You know, there'll be teams that'll tell you and promise you everything, And then you get there and it's a totally something else happens. And I've seen it happen with players that have come to camp and, you know, and all that type of stuff. So, but at the end of the day, you know what? And I said this in earlier interviews in this past week is for me, the main thing is I want to have fun coming to the rink every day. I want to enjoy coming to the rink every day. I want to enjoy my teammates. I want to enjoy the dressing room. I want to enjoy, you know, competing, you know, with the guys that are wearing the same jersey as me every single night. And, you know, I want to, and that's what makes it fun for me. It makes it fun to not only compete in games, but you know, competing in practice, working hard together, you know, having the same goal, everyone being on the same page, going out to dinners, you know, having nights out with guys, you know, that's the enjoyable part of being a pro athlete and an NHL hockey player is you get to experience that, you know, with guys. And, you know, that's, I've always been a guy that's always really enjoyed that part of it. And, you know, that's something that I want to continue to do. And the main thing is for me is I've always been a competitor and I've always played to win. And I'd love nothing more than to, you know, to win a Stanley Cup again. So that plays into the decision as well.
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
You got the right attitude. Absolutely. And I can't think of a team that wouldn't want a guy like you on their team, you know, besides your character. I mean, you're one of the last true warriors still floating around the league. Right. And, but obviously at the end of the day, you mentioned it, like you got to find a place that you're going to play and you're going to be a good spoke in the wheel there and have fun doing it. Right. You don't want to sign somewhere and then get caught up in that, wishy-washy, you know, it goes when you get older, but yeah. You know, watching you this past season, you know, it's almost like you've kind of revitalized yourself, maybe playing a lesser role, but you know, you're still bringing it and you're probably, you know, fighting more than most 34-year-olds would, you know, at that time and place in their career. So you know, props to you. I can't imagine that you're not gonna have a shortage of teams interested in you. So
yeah,
good luck with that. Should be
well, and another good thing is the price point, right? Like one thing that hurt me the last couple of years was being a $6 million AAV. Right. So now, you know, the price point helps me as well.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Have you been watching any playoffs?
Before I went to the World Championships, I was watching. I'm a fan of the game. You know, even on nights where I'm not playing, I watch hockey and stuff like that. And especially in the playoffs, I love, you know, you love when it goes up another gear and
yeah,
the you know, guys start going at each other and all that type of stuff. It's still fun to watch for me. But when I was in Europe, it's kind of hard to watch when the games are on at 3 a.m. But
yeah.
You know what? Now that I'm back now, I'll tune in and watch the Stanley Cup Finals for sure.
Yeah. What like obviously you played with Matthew Tkachuk. Like you've been gone for a while, but you've probably seen some highlights. This guy's like brought it to another level. I mean, just big goal after big goal and their whole team actually has played amazing, and it doesn't hurt when Bob's standing on his head in the net either.
Well, you know what? If you look at historically all the teams that get to the Final Cup, it's you know their goalie is a huge part of that, and ever since he got put in that Boston series, he's just been absolutely insane, and
yeah.
You know what? It's you know, being a guy that's been through it, you know, when you hit a peak or you hit a prime and then you lose it, you know, it's great to see him find it again.
Right.
You know,
you
know what I'm saying? And I guarantee you he'll tell you, like, before this, it probably wasn't fun for him. Right. You know, he was probably going home, you know, second guessing himself, you know. Being like, what the fuck do I gotta, even for me, like, you know, when I was going through hard times, you're like, what do I gotta do? Do I gotta work harder? Like, but then you work harder and it's like you're in quicksand and you start going down more. But to see him kind of find it again, you know, for someone that's been through it, it's you know, those are the stories and things that you really like to see. So let's see if he can get it done because you know, the last four wins are the hardest ones to get, and they're playing a really good team in Vegas. And you know what? I've been through it too, where I remember in 2009, we finished first in the East, and we swept Montreal on the first round, and we had 9 days in between from when we played Montreal and Carolina with New Jersey. And then we played Carolina, who was a sixth seed, and we kicked the shit out of them in the season. We beat them 4 times out of 4. And then all of a sudden, boom, they were rolling, and we were sitting around for 9 days. And then we were all of a sudden, boom, we're down 3-1 in the series. So let's see, you know, Florida's got 10 days off here.
I know.
So let's see, you know, and they were rolling. And yeah. I've been here too. Like, if you guys remember 10 years ago, we won that that game 7 against Toronto, where we came back in that game 7. Yeah. And then, boom, we beat the Rangers in 5. We beat Pittsburgh in 4. And then we ended up losing Chicago. But still, when you hit that high, so I know what they're feeling. They hit that high, and they've been like this ever since. So the 10 days,
it's a lot.
It can mess with their momentum a little bit that they've been, you know, playing with.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. It's a long layoff, man. I didn't think it would be that long, but I don't think anyone saw them sweeping Carolina, but all those games, I'm sure you saw the one went 4 overtimes. I mean, they basically played 5 games, really, yeah, instead crazy. Of just 4. But yeah, it's going to be a fun I think it's going to be a really good final. So Riles has predicted it to go 7, and he's got the Panthers. So
I got Panthers all the way since they
well, lost yeah, yeah, since they lost to Boston. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Beat Boston.
I think Vegas is going to win. I'll take Vegas in 6.
Okay. All right. Going back a little bit, Bud, going back to 2009, 2010, when we ended up playing you guys and you guys are up 3-0, Rex scores 2 in game 4 to send it to overtime. I remember Riles going in the locker room. You're just like, wow, you know, and then Gagne scores. We end up coming back. Obviously that couldn't have been good for you guys. Like, that's just a rotten feeling. But do you think that, for the next year, that helped you guys going through that shit show, if you want to call it that?
I think so. I think I've said it since the summer of 2011 that I don't think we win in 2011 unless we go through 2010.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, and to be honest, when Mike Richards hit David Krejci and put him out,
that was,
you know, and then you guys got Simone back.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you take away our best center.
Yeah.
And then you guys get one of your best wingers back.
That's true.
You know,
I know.
And he was hot too. He was hot.
Yeah. And then he came back. What he scored, like, what, 4 goals in the 5 games that he played?
He scored the OT winner.
And then he scored the game 7 winner. He scored, I think,
two in game 5 in Boston. We won 3-0, I think. Yeah. So he was hot, man.
Yeah. So he scores the overtime winner. And I'm like, and we were all in the dressing room, like, all right, you know, we're going home. We'll get him in game 5. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, boom. Did Bush go down? And then Leighton came in.
Yeah.
And Bush goes down. Leighton comes in. And all of a sudden, no one could score. None of us could score on Leighton for whatever reason. And then, yeah, I think we lose that game 4-0, and Gag scores 2 goals. And then all of a sudden, we're like, okay, now they're going back into their building.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, that was when everyone's wearing their orange shirts and that was back when the warm-up tunes, you couldn't even talk to the guy beside you.
Yeah. So loud.
It was, you know, and you know what? It was actually my favorite place for warm-ups. Philly was always my favorite place for warm-ups. And because of that series in 2010 and the one in 11, it was probably my favorite place to play on the road, just because of, like, the and, like, the orange and the people up top who get off the bus trying to spit at us and all that type of stuff. It's just telling us to fuck off. And, you know, it's just great. You know, it's just, as an athlete, that's what you want. And then the Boston Philly thing and all that type of stuff. And then,
yeah.
And then, you know, I think it was Ashram who scored first minute in of game six. And then you guys went up 2-0. And I think I scored 6-on-5. And then we lose that game. And then we come home to game seven. And then
you had two in the first.
I scored 2 goals in the first to make it 3-0. And then I still remember it, and I still remember the feeling. I think was it JVR?
JVR
scores a goal that goes off Mark Stewart's stick that was lying on the ice. And I'm like, oh, man, the fact that we didn't get out of the first period up 3-0, and it's 2-0, or we're up 3-1, now it's a 2-goal lead. And I'm going, fuck, now there's some hope on that side.
Yeah, right.
and then Hartsey scores, and then Briere scores in the wraparound. And then I think I come in, and in the third, I hit the post. I hit the post in the third. And then we kind of had so Mark Savard comes for a change. And then, if I remember right, Claude didn't really call up the next line. So Mark Savard came for a change, and nobody jumped. And then Vladdy Sobotka jumped. And by that time, Savvy went back into play, and Vladdy went back into play. Oh, we got a too many men call.
Right.
That's when Simone scores the series winner.
Yeah.
And then there you go. It was a historic comeback. And to be honest, that the best thing that happened out of that was that our management team didn't blow it up. And they didn't fire the coach. They didn't blow it up. They made one trade. We made one trade. And the trade was Dennis Wideman for Nathan Horton and Gray Campbell. And that was it. And then everything else stayed the same. And, you know, it just took, like I said, 2011 for us doesn't happen. You know, us being champions doesn't happen without going through what happened in there in 2010.
Yeah, you guys swept right through. You didn't make a mistake the next year. It was funny. Maddie, one of the equipment guys in Boston's a good friend of mine. And I remember you guys were up 3-0. And I said to him in the hallway, I'm like, yeah, we're going to come back again. And he goes, no, you're not. I'm like, oh, no, I'm telling you right now. And then he like looks at me like, really? And I'm like, how do I know? That's so funny. And he's like, no way, man. No way. We're going to put you guys away. I said, I know. And by the way, Maddie, I was talking to him yesterday, and he said, you're an equipment guy's dream. He said, never had to touch your stall. 3 sticks taped only on your rack all the time. He said, just such a pro, such an easy player to deal with, man. So that's a huge compliment coming from an equipment guy, even though he's your buddy. Riles was a little better than you, Luch, because he only had 1 stick taped. Because this fucking guy would yell at him because he never taped it. Tape? Yeah, right. He goes, I don't need tape on it.
Yeah, I didn't need it.
Man. And you get to raise a Stanley Cup, which just must have been the best feeling in the world, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was especially like for me, I'm being from Vancouver too. I got to do it in my hometown. And then doing it for an original six team, you know, it was their first cup in 39 years. And it's pretty crazy to think about it. I mean, the Bruins have only won now one cup in the last 51 years. And they've had some really great teams, you know, even this year, the best team ever. And
incredible.
And yeah. And you look back at the teams with Cam Neely and Ray Bourque, you know, they just run into the Oilers twice and they can't get it done. The Flyers ran into the Oilers twice.
That's right. I was a kid. My dad was doing what I did at that time with the Flyers. So I think my dad lost three finals. I lost in one.
You know what? And I lost in one final. It's a shitty feeling, man. Like, and to be honest, like, don't get me wrong. It's the best feeling in the world, winning that Stanley Cup. But I think about that one we lost more than the one that we won.
Crazy
as that is to say, because you just think about it, and it's
it haunts you.
Yeah, it does haunt you.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I had a funny story. I don't know if you remember this, Luch, and I don't know if Zach Ronaldo ever mentioned this to you, but the next year after we had won, Reno's first games in NHL were in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So after the game, you know, I'm taking the skates back to the skate zone because we had two sets of gear. So just throwing the skates in and I run back in, grab my bag as I'm walking out. Zach's coming out and he's walking beside me. And you were over, the buses were parked, and you were over on your cell phone, minding your own business, just whatever you were, whoever you were talking to. And you just kind of like look over, like just because you're looking around, and Reno's right beside me. And he goes, "What the fuck are you looking at?" I said, "You would don't say that shit to him when I'm beside this guy's gonna grab us both." He said, "Fuck that." I said, "I'm trying to get in the van. I'm trying to lock the door." And you just were like, "Oh, whatever, dude." But you knew you had us beat. But I was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you, Zach?" And then, you know, you guys end up playing together. He loves you, man.
Yeah.
He was telling me that you guys were the bad boys of the bubble. Oh, I don't know if you can give that away, yeah. But that's what he told me.
it's funny that just goes to show about hockey, you know, like you can hate a guy and want to fight a guy one day, and then the next day your teammates and you love the guy. And, yeah. You know, I still keep in touch with Rhino and I do love and I actually remember that. I think he played his first game against us. It was that afternoon game one game. Yep. And it was like 6-2 and he was being an idiot. So in a scrum, really? I caught him with a huge left. And I remember I dropped him pretty good. And so I got him pretty good in the scrum. And then I remember him standing there and I remember him chirping. I was like, whatever, who's this guy?
Yeah, I think there's a video of one of it may have been Thorty Cakes. Thorty said, "Turn yeah, around. What's your name? Turn around."
Miners. Yeah. So like telling that story about Rhino liked to do that stuff. And because we're all in the bubble and everyone's kind of looking at everyone's kind of around each other, all that type of stuff. So Rhino wanted to be like same type of thing. And I was like, yeah, whatever. We can just eyeball everyone and, you know, intimidate. And he would be like, "What the fuck are you looking at?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, what are you looking at?" And, you know,
that's awesome.
Flex it.
That's fucking great.
Bubble flex.
And that's what I liked about him. You know, when if you needed a guy to have your back, he was – Yeah, you know, he was there for you. So that's why, you know, that's why me and him got along the way that we did.
Oh, sure.
Luch, I'll tell you a quick story about Zach. So his first development, it was development camp, right, Riggs?
Yeah, it was,
Riles was playing. And Riley and I were out watching. They scrimmaged. They had these kids scrimmaging. Well, because of him, they stopped the scrimmaging. And I'm not exaggerating. He hit three guys, right, Riggs?
He
was like a shark in the water.
Yeah, he's a shark.
Like, yeah. He hit three guys, Luch, put them out of the camp. They couldn't skate the rest of the time. And then after he hit the third guy, this one poor kid who actually played on our team, De La Laliberte, remember? Yeah. Riggs, he played a little bit against you guys when we came back in that series. Lally goes up to him, probably never fought in his life, but he felt like he had to do something. All the brass is upstairs. Zach just absolutely folds this guy up like a lawn chair, and Lally comes and grabs him. Rhino, one punch, boom. Now he's out. Four guys in about 5 minutes. And he comes by my office, and he's like, Riley's sitting in my office. He goes, That was for you, Cote.
Yeah. I was like, nice job, dude. Yeah, nice like, you might have made the team. Just in, like, three yeah, you, there.
I think you're – and you know what's funny after that was Paul Holmgren came down to my office, and he goes, did you watch the scrimmage on the Phantom side? I said, yeah. He goes, who's your favorite player at camp? I went, Zach Ronaldo. He goes, yeah, I know. You probably want him to make the team, don't you? I said, yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
But you know what? Like, just to add on to that story, like that's what – you had to do what you had to do to get noticed. You had to do what you had to do to make the team. And like, to go back to the fighting aspect, I mean, I wasn't drafted into juniors, into the WHL. And the only reason why I got a shot is because I would fight. You know, they'd be like, oh, this kid can fight and he's big. And then they're like, oh, he can play too. So yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
And then even my first year as a 19-year-old, when I made the Bruins, I fought one time in a – we played a rookie game against New Jersey. I fought Mark Fraser there. Then I fought in – I fought three more times in preseason. And then I fought four times in the first 10 games of the season just to stay in. And I remember Claude Julien telling me my last year as a Bruin, you know, just to kind of motivate me or piss me off or kind of, you know, get me going, because that's what he liked to do. And, you know, he said, oh, when you were a 19-year-old, we only kept you around because you could show that you could hold your own and you could fight. So, you know, it said my whole point is to just to add on to Zach's story is you got to do what you got to do to get yourself 100%. Recognized. I know the game has changed today. But back then, like, you had to, like I said, I made it as a 19-year-old because I could fight and I could hold my own. I fought some big boys, you know, right off the get-go. You know, they probably weren't super heavyweights, but, you know, they were men. And then, you know, that's what kept me around. And then all of a sudden, oh wow, he can play too. You know, just the same old story. And then, you know, my game took off from there. So, you know. You know what? Like, some people might hear this story about Zach and say, "Oh, what a nutcase! What an idiot!" You know, that's not hockey. But you know what? You got to do what you got to do to make the team. And I give praise to Zach because Zach would have never have gotten noticed unless he did what he did there.
Yeah,
100%.
Put it in a place in Philly. Like, there's no better place to do it.
Oh, exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That was still an era where there was still fights in training camp and. You know, eventually they squash that because there would be, you know, guys just stage fight all the time, right? But it's evolved so much where you don't see any of that anymore. But you're right. I mean, that's exactly what you had to do. I mean, there's no other way for those types of guys. I mean, obviously Zach was a lot more skilled than myself, but like if I had not act like an idiot, like I'm certainly not trying to make the team as a skill guy, you know. It's like it's just one of those things that had to happen. So yeah, I mean, I love hearing your story because it just shows the dynamics of how the game was and what you had to do to get noticed and earn your stripes to actually get a chance to show that you can play. Otherwise, there's probably several guys that were better hockey players in the sense of skill wise, but you know, you add this dimension of toughness and grit and stuff that they can't bring. Super powerful.
And then. Yeah. Show that you can play as well, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, right. It's the gravy.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And not to mention, like, when Zach came in, you know, the Bruins, we were the champs, right?
Right.
So, you know, every team had to, like, we were the team to be. And then you had, you know, you had myself, Chara, Thornton, Nathan Horton, McQuaid, you know. Greg Campbell would fight, you know.
Yeah, he would.
We kind of had every weight class covered, you know, by multiple guys. So, you know, we kind of helped. I guess our team kind of helped that out as well, too.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny you say all that, Luge, because you've actually seen, and Riley was obviously played at the same time. You've watched this game really. Change, like, it's changed a lot, right? And like you said, you used to have to go in. You're 19 years old. If you're not grabbing guys, you may be going back to junior, right? Like, you just don't know. Exactly. But obviously it's changed so much, but you were there when it was still, I don't want to say it's not a man's game. It's a man's game, but it was a man's game then when you first came in.
I agree, but what a lot of people try to make that argument, the thing that I say is look at the teams who make the finals. Look at the teams who are still winning. They still have, you know, they still have meat on their team. Right. And I'm not talking about meat, like fighting meat, just straight up fighting meat. I'm talking about, you know, big, heavy guys that are hard to play against. And, you know, I remember it was my 10th game of the year and 10th game of my career. And, you know, it was the first time I played the Flyers afternoon game. That was the one when Rawls and Thordy had that great fight. And I fought Eager right after that. But I remember, you know, our squad going up against your squad, and you guys still had like Hatcher and
floating around there.
Yeah, and like, you and Eager on the fourth line, and you know, and then on our team we had all the meat with like, you know, like the big, heavy, strong guys, and that's what I'm trying to say, like, you know. What a lot of people like forget to like look at is like you look at Tampa, they were close all those years. Mm-hmm. And then they added size and strength to their back end just to bolster up some meat. And, you know, adding Pat Maroon and, you know, the last 2 years with Corey Perry and some other guys on their fourth line, you know, like I think that gets overlooked that, it's a fast skilled game. It's a fast skilled game. A lot of these fast skilled teams aren't playing anymore.
That's right.
They're not there. Not that these teams don't have, you know, they're not skilled and they're not fast, but I'm just saying that heaviness and that meat and that man's game that you're talking about, you know, that still is what gets you to the end.
Yeah, 100%. So true. I'm going to go with the Panthers here, but you know, I like look at Radko Gudas and even like this Nick Cousins. I know he's not a meaty guy, but he's like a grinder. You know, he grinds and he's hard to play against. Sam Bennett crushes guys.
I mean
there's no secret there, right? It's just it keeps proving itself to be true every year almost, right? It's never gonna change. The formula never changes,
never.
Maybe the fourth line gets a little more skilled, but at the end of the day the formula never changes. You need that heaviness, that grit, which is it's fun to watch, man. That's meat and potatoes. It's, you know, all the analytics, all the skill in the world is just like you just kind of go back to the basic elements of the game. It's just it's pretty amazing to watch. So I love to hear that, you know, it keeps people, you know, it reminds people, you know, as skilled as the game has gotten, that you can't move too far away from the essence of it.
Yeah, exactly.
The ethos of it.
Speaking of some, the battle of Alberta, you've been on both sides of that. Is that, I mean, like I watch every time that Calgary and Edmonton play, I try to watch. I'm a bit of a hockey nerd, so I watch a lot of hockey. But what was that like being in Edmonton? And then now, you know, you've been in Calgary the last few years. That's a real thing, right?
The last 2 years, it's been good. It's funny because my years in Edmonton, It was interesting because the Battle of Alberta was there, but it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't really as big of a rivalry as it is right now. And I think it took some I remember my first year, I think we beat Calgary every single game. And then my second year, we both didn't make the playoffs. And then my third year, Calgary was really good and we sucked in Edmonton. And so it was whatever.
Yeah.
And then ever since I've been in Calgary, it's ramped up because both teams were always competing for playoff spots.
Right.
And so, now, you know, my first year there, they had the goalie fight and, you know, the line balls. You know, some incredible games and then meeting in the second round of the playoffs last year. So, and you know how it is, just even talking about Boston, Philly, you know, how it was when we played each other, you know, now that it's back and alive again, I think it's great for hockey. And I think it has people talking about, you know, Calgary and Edmonton more because out East, you know, we're on at 10 o'clock, Eastern time. So we kind of get lost, but now that it's going again, I think it's great to have those rivalries, you know, more rivalries in hockey. So, you know, it was fun to be a part of. it gets kind of crazy, to be honest, because you think about it, it's a, you know, provincial rivalry. It's a 3-hour drive away. The Edmonton fans get right up in your face. I mean, it was crazy. Like when we played him last year in the playoffs, we had like Edmonton fans follow a couple of us around. Like the one guy followed Backlund in, you know, on the elevator and into the, not into his hotel room, but right up to his hotel room.
Wow. That's ballsy, man. That's ballsy. Yeah,
it gets kind of crazy. And you know, every time it's at the dome, I always ask our head of security, oh, how many fights tonight? You know, and vice versa when it's up in Edmonton. But I would say it's probably, you know, 65-35 Oilers fans versus Flames fans, just because, I mean, Oilers had the Gretzky Oilers you know, the 80s Oilers. So they just naturally have, you know, a bigger fan base because of that. They have Connor McDavid. So, you know, there's a lot of Oilers fans. Yeah, he's okay.
He's decent. How'd you enjoy playing with him?
150 points this year.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you know what? He's great. He's a great teammate. Obviously, unbelievable player. You know, it's just a matter of time until he has, you know, he has that success that he deserves. So he obviously has an individual success, and he's chasing that Stanley Cup. But you know, it's just a matter of time.
Hey, he's fun to watch, man.
Yeah, no doubt. You've had an opportunity to play for some amazing coaches, and obviously Daryl Sutter being your last. We always ask guys that we have on the pod that played for Sutter, any Sutter stories that are worth sharing.
You know what? He's awesome. He's really great. You know what? He's hard on guys. He's old school that way. You know, he never lets anyone off the hook. That's one of his things. Like, and he's, you know what? Like, even if you're on a winning streak and guys are starting to get a little too comfortable, he'll come and just like, he'll just fuck it up. Like, yeah. what do you guys think? You're great. Like, you know, so, like, but you're just like, but you understand, like, you know, as I've gotten older, you understand, you know, what he's doing. You know, he's always preparing you. He's preparing you for the playoffs. He's preparing you for when games get tough. He's preparing you for when it's crunch time and you need it the most. And sometimes his philosophy is he's going to be the bad guy, so the boys rally together and go out there and do it. You know, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, Chief Craig Berube's told us so many stories, but even Brian Boucher does some pretty good imitation of Daryl, you know, with a tie undone, spitting in the floor, down, like in the crouch, pointing and shit. Chief said we'd get there early. Chief was always early at the rink when he played him. That's how old I am. I actually had Chief as a player. He's like, we'd be in a locker room, music playing a little bit. I said, you guys had radios back then when you were playing in Calgary? He's like, yeah, no, but he's like, you know, having a coffee and taping a stick up, and we're laughing about some of him and, you know, another guy. And all of a sudden, Daryl grabs his arm. What's so fucking funny? Why are you guys smiling? You know, and he goes, holy fuck, it's 3:45. We play at 7, you know, but he loved Daryl. Like, he loves Daryl, but we hear all these funny stories about him. That's why we asked.
You had him twice too, right?
I had him twice now. Yeah. And you know what? I really enjoy him as a person. I enjoy playing for him. And what's funny too is he's actually, you know what? He's not what you think he is, because he comes across the way that he does in his interviews and in the media and stuff like that. But he does it because it's almost like a Belichick thing or a Greg Popovich thing. Like, it's like, what matters is what matters in the locker room. And I'm not going to give you anything because I don't want other teams to know what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a game.
And it's great though too. And every morning I'd come to the rink and he'd always have he'd have stuff written all over the whiteboards, and he'd have sayings and numbers and sometimes just one letter. and he'd have it all over. And I'd grab a coffee and I would go and read it all, and I would try to figure it out. I would try to figure out, okay, what's coming today? Like, yeah. You know, but like also he's also very smart. Like he sees the game like no one that I've ever played for. Mm. Like he could see the other team's neutral zone. If the other team makes an adjustment as far as their neutral zone forecheck or their forecheck or defense or whatever, he sees it on the bench. He doesn't need to go watch video, and he plays, and it's like he's able to make adjustments right on the bench and all that type of stuff. So it's really, like I said, he's not what you think he is because of what you see in his interviews. He's like I said, he's most intelligent coach that I've ever played for. His motivational tactics could be, especially in today's age, could have been a little bit better. But he is who he is. I'm not going to change for anyone. And at the end of the day, like Chief told you guys, you'd run through a wall for the guy. If he called Chief today, Chief would do anything for him. If he called me today, you know, I've been to his ranch. I've been to Viking 3 times to go visit him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like I said, cool. And you know what? Vice versa. If you needed him for anything, he'd be the first one to help you. He's that type of person, and I'm glad that I've gotten to play for him for three and a half seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love to hear that. There's no secret why he's still floating around coaching the NHL, right? I mean, he's doing something right, and maybe his strategy is a little bit old school, but it's working to some degree. He knows how to push buttons, and everyone we talk to, he says the same thing you do. There's this respect, you know, because he's not what is presented in the media, right? It's just a game for him. He just toys with the media, and there's nothing but respect and all that behind closed doors. So yeah, I love to hear that because it's, you always wonder what makes, you know, especially the old school strategy around getting guys to work and play, you know, like the mind games. You know, we talked to a lot of guys with Mike Keenan stories, and obviously like probably a little bit different than Sutter's style, but you know,
and we were together in Chicago, so it might
right.
be,
yeah,
it might yeah. be, yeah, probably more, a little more fear-based back in the day, but nonetheless, you know, screwing with guys' heads, right. And it's like, you know, making them think and all this other stuff, which I think is valuable because, you know, you know, like guys get loose, right? You said like it's going good. Guys get a little too comfortable. And that's when generally when you start shitting the bed, right? You get a little too comfortable and guys get a little too loose. And then you got to have someone to check the guys. So I think those old school guys do that well.
Well, yeah. And for me, that's what got the best out of me, mm-hmm. you know? And if you guys talk to Claude Julien, he was probably harder on me than anyone, but And in the moment you hate it. You're like, what the fuck is this guy all over me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like hitting everyone. I'm fighting. I'm scoring. Like what the fuck more does this guy want? And he's still all over me. But it was because, like you said, he never wanted me to get comfortable. He never wanted me to feel comfortable because when I did, then my play would start to go this, but I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. He saw it. So that's why he always kept me in check, you know, and uncomfortable. So that I'd come and, you know, be my best. And, you know, looking back at it, it was the perfect thing for me.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that, Luch, like coming in, obviously we talked about you're only 19 years old. Who kind of was there one guy in general, or was it like a kind of a group effort with Chara and Bergeron and all these guys, like that kind of took you under their wing being a young kid, like you're still, you know, 19 years old.
Well, it's funny. I got to bring this up. It's that same game that I talked about where Riles and Thordy had that unbelievable fight. I don't know if you guys remember, but Randy Jones hit Bergie from behind.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
He missed the rest of the season with a concussion. So
I do.
I didn't really get – the first year, I didn't really get to play with Bergie. But I was lucky because back then, as you guys know, you know – there was a lot more guys in their early 30s on a team. It's true. It was, mm-hmm. you know, I think there was more guys on that team that were in their 30s than us in our 20s, you know, or me at 19.
Right.
And I was lucky that I had there was a lot of guys help me out, you know, and I think. So my first line mates were Glenn Metropolitan and Sean Thornton.
Metro.
Oh, there you go. Metro. Yeah. Another flyer.
You know what? Two unreal guys, two guys that honestly couldn't have been better for me to play with and couldn't be better for me to be teammates with. Cause me and Metro were both trying to make the team. Metro was on a PTO.
Yeah.
So we were at the hotel together. So, and Metro was there by himself. So we would always go to dinners together, you know, because we were staying at the hotel together. So to have an older guy like that, you know, and he had a car. I mean, I didn't have a car yet.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, he'd take me out for dinner, and he's the first guy that taught me like birds in the bush and all that type of stuff. Yeah. And he's, as you guys know, he's one of the best for me anywhere. So, you know, he was great. And then, you know, being line mates with Thordy, was awesome. And you know what? Me and Thordy really helped each other because, you know, I was a 19-year-old trying to establish myself, and Thordy was also trying to establish himself too, because that was the first time I think he really signed, you know, he signed a 3-year one-way contract.
Right.
And he was, you know, he was establishing himself as well in the NHL. He was already established, obviously, in the AHL.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, it's very impressive what he did, you know, 600 games in the A and then 600 in the NHL.
Yeah.
And he literally fought everyone.
Yeah.
And you know what? And me having him, you know, to take care of the big boys like Riles and Brashear and LaRocque, and like, they were super heavyweights back then.
Yeah.
You know, and Peters and Buffalo. And then, you know, I would kind of get the second guys. You know, but we were, you know, but I would take some heat off of him because then he wouldn't have to fight everyone every night. But he would take heat off of me then because I wouldn't have to fight everyone every night. So we did a really good job of feeding off each other. And he did a really good job with me as well, you know, keeping me in check. You know, not that I needed to be kept in check too much, but you're a young guy, like, you know, this, you need to do this, you need to be, you know, it's just the usual things, picking up pucks in practice. Don't be hard on the trainers. You know, you're not supposed to be on the table, you know. You know, but then Thordy would be the first guy, you know, to take you out to dinner on the road, you know.
Yeah.
So he was as hard, you know, he was hard on young guys, but he'd be the first guy to take you out to dinner on the road. And then, you know, we had other guys, too, that really helped me out. You know, I lived with Mark Stewart, who was great, you know. I'd never lived anywhere, you know, I was from Vancouver, played junior in Vancouver. So it was never too far away from my parents. So he helped me out with that. Mark Savard was in the building right across from us. So I spent a lot of time with him. I'd go over to his house. We'd watch hockey together a lot. You know, I had Glenn Murray there too, that helped out. And also having, you know, Big Z in his prime,
right,
being the biggest, baddest, you know, scariest guy in the league, but also playing 25, 26 minutes a night. You know, it was just a good situation for me. And to be honest, I didn't really know much about the Bruins history. I didn't really know much about Big Bad Bruins. I didn't really know anything about the city of Boston. So, you know, that year was a big learning curve for me. And to be honest, you know, maybe other than Philly, you know, it was probably the best place that I could have ended up.
Totally.
Yeah.
The way that I played,
yeah,
and how I wanted to play and how I wanted to establish myself. And you guys will remember the crowds back in Boston when I started.
Oh yeah, it's insane.
Like 8,000 to 10,000.
Oh yeah, when you first got,
right, yeah.
Yeah, when I first got there, it was like 8,000 to 10,000, and
it was that low.
It was low. I remember my season opener. They announced 13,000. There must have been 6,000 or 7,000. I remember on Tuesday nights they had college nights. If you were a college kid, all you had to do was show your ID card, and it was $10 in section 310 or something like that, which is insane to think about it. And unless we were playing in another original six team or you guys or Montreal, you know, that was the only time we had big crowds. Other than that, I was like, fuck, I kind of want to go back to junior. I'm serious. We won the Mem Cup the year before.
Yeah.
Junior crowds were better than it was in Boston. I was like, what the hell is this all about? But then
it changed
pretty quickly for you guys.
Like I said, Big Z coming in, And then me and Thordy coming in, you know, we kind of, you know, and then we had a bunch of other guys with Ference. And then I said, like, Nate Horn, McQuaid, Murray Bolchuk. Then we get this big, bad Bruin type of team in.
Exactly.
And we have a goalie with attitude with Tim Thomas.
Yeah.
And then Tuukka takes over after him. Everything. And then we get that, you know, and then we get the little guy, Marshy, in the mix, who who really would stir things up with everyone and everything. It was, like I said, there was no better place for me to start and establish myself the way that I could have. And you know, it was a great 8 years. And, you know, I still think about it and how lucky I am to have had that in my life.
Yeah, man. Like,
that's amazing.
You're sitting at 1,173 games, which is amazing, and still going strong here. And to spend 8 years in one place is fucking amazing, to be honest. And then add on everything else you've done so far. And by the way, talking about the Big Bad Bruins, did you ever did you know what Derek Sanderson's pregame meal was when he played?
No, I don't.
A couple cigarettes or?
No, he said a steak and a blonde. Steak and a blonde.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly. What a
beauty he is.
Yeah, and hey, that was pretty cool too. Like I said, I didn't really know anything about the Bruins' history. Getting to meet all of those guys, mm-hmm, and be buddies with those guys.
Yeah.
My second year, they did a DVD Bruins history. So, you know, they broke down the whole history of it and all that type of stuff. And then we had the Winter Classic against you guys.
That's right. Yep.
And then I was actually injured, so I didn't play in that one. But they did a first skate at Fenway. And it brought in and actually the team was on the road, but I was hurt. So I was stayed back. So I went out with all those guys, and it was pretty cool because, like, everyone was there. All the retired numbered guys were there. A lot of the, you know, the 72 guys that are still around were there. And then all the guys from the 80s and all that type of stuff. So it was pretty cool. Like, you know, I became, you know, good friends with Ray Bourque and John Busick and even, you know, Derek Sanderson and Bobby Orr, who's one of the best guys that you'll ever meet. So yeah, it's you know, and Cam Neely's, you know, our president and all that. Type of stuff. So it was pretty cool to, you know, to be one of those guys, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at it.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's a great franchise. That's for sure, man.
Yeah. So many similarities with the Flyers, you know. They got, of all those teams, they're so similar. They got the, you know, the Broad Street Bullies, Big Bad Bruins, not a shortage of toughness. Yeah. You know, back in the day, just sort of battles.
Yeah. You guys just need someone to take the reins away from the championship guys in the 70s. You know?
I know. That's exactly it. It's about time.
These guys have been the champs of Philly for too long.
I know.
I'll tell you, no, never too long. But, you know, need some new blood there.
They need it. Need it. That's for sure. It's been a long, long time,
the
man.
The city knows it. That's for sure. They're feeling it. So we'll see how that goes the next couple of years in the rebuild. So. But, you know, we really appreciate you hopping on there, Luke.
Yeah, man.
I know you're a busy guy and you're still just riding the wave of the championship there. So appreciate you taking the time out to hop on with us.
No problem, guys. You know,
I apologize, Luke, that our PJ couldn't come grab you. Rouse is in Hawaii. I wanted you in the studio with me.
In Hawaii.
We'll do it for the next one.
That's it.
All right, bro. Hey, man, congratulations, brother. Good luck this year, free agency, man.
Yeah.
You deserve the best, dude. You're an awesome guy. We really appreciate you taking the time, man.
Have a great summer.
All right, a big thank you to our friend Milan Lucic, Luch, for hopping on. An amazing guy and what an amazing career. Toughest guy still floating around.
It is amazing. If you just, like he said, go on Hockey DB and look, man, like playing 8 years in one place is pretty amazing. But to keep going, you know, Edmonton, Calgary, that year in LA, he had a great year that year too. We didn't really get to talk about that. There's so much to talk to him about, but great guy, man. I met him a few times over the years and always stopped, shot the shit, man. Just a great guy.
Yeah.
Wish him the best of luck this summer. Hopefully, you know, he ends up somewhere where he wants to be. I would imagine he wants to go somewhere warm.
I would think
being,
so.
Being in Calgary, you know, in Edmonton, but great guy. That's one of those guys, man. We talk about a lot, Riggs. Like, what an important piece in your room. Totally. You know, he shows up. You kind of mentioned, like, the production's going to go down when you don't play as much, obviously, for sure. The ice time. But the guy shows up every night. He's got everybody's back. He's just one of those guys you want on your team, man.
Yeah, totally. Character guy, tough as nails, and as you mentioned, durable, right? I mean, how many guys that play that type of hockey can play that many games every year, right? It's impressive. So,
and the fact that he said, like you said, Riggs, like the fact that he feels good.
Yeah,
you know, that's a lot of games, man.
That is.
It's a lot of games, a lot of years, and that, I'm so happy he shared, like, that he reached out to Team Canada, man.
I love that. That's so cool.
And he ends up winning. And the guy's, you know, he's a badass because he's got the trophy still.
Yeah, right. That's it.
In his kitchen.
One's taking it from him.
No one's taking it.
I love it.
But thank him, man. He great guy. Appreciate him jumping on with us.
Absolutely. Well, Nas, what time is it?
I believe it's time for Clear Rum Questions, brought to you by Clear Rum.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we've already mentioned it, but let's say it again. We've got the tailgate next Friday in Lot M.
Oh, updates.
Update. Party Lot M. We got all our friends from Clear Rum going to be there. Fans of Philly. We got a DJ.
Oh,
we got you. We're going to trim that beard.
Yeah,
we're
going to
make that into a contest. Yes. If we got enough guys there, I'll just have them hold you down, and I'll just buzz it right down.
We'll shave this into some sort of piece of art.
You look like ZZ Top right now.
ZZ Top. All right, Nast.
All right, let's do it.
Not Bill Nye 69 on Twitter. What should the Flyers do on draft day? Trade up, trade down? Who should they target? Should they sell assets? Thoughts?
Well, I think Danny did an interview this week, and he's going to listen to anything, right?
Absolutely.
He even mentioned Carter Hart. I don't think Carter Hart gets moved. I think it would have to be something crazy to move him. You've got a number one goalie here. We've talked about this a million times. You've waited on a guy like this. I don't think he would do it, but he's got to do his job and listen, right? So you go to the draft, you never know, someone may come to him with something. But in my opinion, I think you go for the best available player. And I believe Baller was saying most of these guys in the top 10 are forwards.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you go into it targeting, oh, I need this defenseman. Obviously, they're doing their homework, but I think you take the best player. And I don't know if you move up or down unless something really good is offered to you, right?
Yep. Yeah, I fully agree. Unless Blackhawks give Danny B a ring and want to move old Connor Bedard. You know, everything is for sale if the price is right. I think you got to listen, as you're mentioning. We've talked about this before. I'm not sure they're going to go out of their way to do something stupid. You know, if it makes sense, you know, I think there might be a deal with whatever assets they do have, but I don't think they're going out of their way to make a move that's not necessary. So
I agree.
We'll see how it plays out. But I think as you mentioned, the top 10 forwards are forwards, or top 10 picks are forwards. I think you go after the best available player that's available.
Yep.
Whatever that looks like. So we'll see.
I agree.
Moving on, Notorious PIG on Twitter. What effect on the room would trading TK or Lots have to buy into Torts' system and become team leaders only to be traded? What message would that send?
Again, if somebody throws something to Danny and he and Jonesy as well, I guess, and they feel like it's going to help the team, they're going to do it. I wouldn't want to move either one of those guys. Like you said, those are two guys that bought in and they're leaders on this team, and be tough to watch a guy like TK who's coming into his own now and scoring goal. Like, it's tough to give away goal, you know, give a lot of goals away if you're going to get rid of him, and he's not old. You know, he's still a kid. I mean, you know, mid-20s here, but if you get an offer and they feel like it's good enough, you know, I think they'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just echoing what you said and what we just talked about. I think I don't think they're actively shopping these guys around. I just think that if there's some amazing deal that makes sense for the betterment of the team and the future of the franchise, then they would potentially move a guy like that. But I don't think they're actively looking to move these guys.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see. Again, we've seen some crazier things happen, but it has to be right for the organization. You know, for Danny B and Jonesy's first couple moves, you know, they're going to be crispy moves, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to be very well thought out. So, we'll see, you know, time will tell. Moving on, Hockey Tough Guys on IG. Mr. Cote, how do you feel about George the Rock saying you're one of the toughest guys he's ever faced? And I do remember that comment back in 2008. I think it was actually the pound for pound toughest guy. So, yeah, you know,
he did
maybe
say
a little different animal than the toughest guy. But, you know, obviously coming from, I would say, top two toughest guys at that time, between him and Donald Brashear.
Yeah.
Very meaningful, you know? So, I mean, I think it was after that Pittsburgh fight that he almost knocked my head off. but I did tag him pretty good, and it was a pretty good fight, you know, considering I'm undersized and he's a super heavyweight, but I've gotten to know Georgie a little bit and super respectful guy. And, you know, for him to say that is meaningful, you know?
Yeah.
Specifically at that time, you know, at that time I'm no longer a fighter anymore, and, you know, could care less where I fit in the grand scheme of tough guys. But in the moment, it was certainly patting the ego a little bit. And it kind of helped make sense of all the work I was putting in and fighting all, you know, sometimes I would wake up and be like, what am I doing here? And, you know, to have a comment like that certainly adds value to what you're trying to accomplish. So, 100%. Big Georgie Poo. Thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome. I remember reading that the next day. I thought that was really cool. And deserved.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. And last one here, Augie 1122 on Instagram.
I know her.
Nasty, how often do you call your mom?
Well, obviously not enough, because she put that on there. It's so funny. Quickly, I called her yesterday on my way home after Elvis's practice, and she's like, did you see my note on your on Nasty Knuckles? And I was like, your note? She's like, yeah. I said, Nasty, how often do you call your mom? I thought that's why you were calling. And I said, no, mom, I was calling you. So I gotta have to make sure I'm calling more.
But
appreciate what to
bring
you.
Her on the pod, Augie.
Yeah. We have to.
Here's some nasty stories of when you're a little hellion.
Oh, she might tell you some things I don't want anybody to know.
Oh, danger.
I love you, mom.
Yeah. Well, that's a wrap, Nast. Episode 119 in the books. Great to see you.
Good to see you, all too. Let's get on home. You'll be home tomorrow, right?
Be home tomorrow night. Back in the studio on Wednesday.
Back in the studio.
Looking forward to it. Until next week, knuckleheads, be safe. Tune in, subscribe, and have a great week.
See ya.
Take care.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.